Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jody Mack and Gary Myers here. How are you, bud?
Good. How you guys doing?
Very good. Before we start on the Yankees-Astros this upcoming ALCS, I want to turn back the clock a little bit on you. When you were covering all teams and the beat and on top of things and getting inside information and rumors and the like, not this past offseason, but the offseason before. We know Gerrit Cole was made available by the Pittsburgh Pirates. And we know the Yankees had interest in him and inquired. They drafted him out of high school, so we know they liked the player. Your best remembrance of what the Yankees offered, what the Pirates were looking for, how close did Gerrit Cole become to being a New York Yankee as much as a year and change ago?
Yeah, I remember it well, Jody. I wrote several columns that winter about it. I thought they should have done it and kept pushing them to do it, but Cashman would not give up Miguel Andujar. That was the sticking point. They couldn't do it for Fraser and somebody else, another prospect the Pirates wanted. And Duhar, they ended up getting that third baseman from the Astros, Moran, I think it is. And the Astros did not give up their top prospects, so I thought for sure the Yankees could have gotten it done for sure. I mean, Cashman would give up Andujar. And the thing is, I mean, the Yankees, a lot like the Astros, felt like Cole had maybe not this kind of potential, but the potential to get much better. They'd seen it in the past. And when you combine, they thought, I remember talking to the Yankee people at the time, more or less off the record about it, that they thought if they could get him with their analytics people, get him to change his pitch selection, which is what happened in Houston to a large extent, and he would take off again. And that's kind of what has happened here. And so, yeah, I think, listen, Brian Cashman's made all the right moves, and Andujar had a great rookie year. But I still think when you look at the position player strength the Yankees had compared to what they have pitching wise, that was a mistake not to go ahead and make that deal.
Harper, I just looked it up. The Astros gave up two right-handers, Joe Musgrove and Michael Feliz. The third baseman you mentioned, Colin Moran, and outfielder Jason Martin. So they've now gone through 2 years in the Pirates system. Any word on how they're doing?
You know, I haven't looked into it too much as far as those guys, but Moran has played. He's played some regular third base for them. I think he had an okay year, and Musgrove pitched in their rotation for a while. I think he got hurt, but nothing that would really justify that trade. I don't think the Pirates got enough for him, considering that Cole was 2 years away from free agency. But the Yankees would not budge on Andujar. I still think there was a deal to be made, maybe, that would have been the Pirates could have gotten more from the Yankees than they got from the Astros. But I think they were determined to get a third baseman and a starting pitcher and get a package of four players. The Yankees had that kind of depth in their system, especially then, a little more than they do now. So I'm not sure, but I mean, maybe the Pirates if they couldn't get Andujar, they weren't going to do with the deal with the Yankees. But that was, for both sides, that would have worked out a lot better.
Brian Cashman didn't have his crystal ball to know that Gio Urshela was going to be able to step in and do what he did at third base. Understood.
That's true.
The Yankees have decided Tanaka first game, Paxson second. They went the opposite last round. Why you think the change?
I think they must have looked at the way Tanaka pitched in the first game. He pitched well. Everything was down. You know, he's had a problem this year. He's talked about it. The ball everybody's talking about. It's been tougher for pitchers to grip in some cases. The seams aren't as raised. And he had a tough time with the splitter. He ended up changing his grip on the splitter kind of late in the year and felt like he had a little more command of it. And he did have good command of it against the Twins. The slider and the splitter, that's the key for him now. He just uses the fastball to kind of set those pitches up. And he was effective. So I think that maybe that had something to do with it, because otherwise I still would have been tempted to go Paxton, but Tanaka splits are really, really extreme as far as road and home. He had like a 6 ERA on the road, so they're counting on October Tanaka being different than regular season Tanaka, obviously. And there's a case to be made for that. The guy has pitched really well in the postseason.
John, how do you see this series playing out?
I think it's going to be a great series. I'm glad we got it. Everybody's wanted it all year. Two best teams. In a sense, the Yankees catch a break. Look, I picked the Yankees. I'm still alive, Yankees Nationals, for my World Series pick.
Yeah.
But I did pick the Yankees, and they did catch a little bit of a break by Cole having to pitch at Game 5, but it does put a lot of pressure on them to win Game 1, because then you got Verlander and Cole sitting there in Games 2 and 3 if you don't win. So, but I think this is at least going 6 or 7, and I think home field advantage is going to play a part. It did in 2017. I was covering those games. The Astros were definitely affected by the atmosphere at the Yankee Stadium. You saw that. And the Yankees had a tough time in Houston. That place was really loud. When that roof is shut, that place is really loud. And, obviously Verlander had a lot to do with it, but they didn't score many runs in Houston either.
Yankees have made their starting pitchers for games 1, 2, and 3, and we don't know where we'll be sitting after 3 games, but either speculate and choose how you think the first 3 are going to go, or if you think that the Yankees are definitively going to go in a specific direction in Game 4, who's going to start Game 4 for the Yanks?
You know, I think as long as they get through it, the third game, without having to go deep into their pen, I think they're going to be tempted to go with Chad Green and do that opener strategy that they've used this season and try and make it more of a bullpen game, sort of like what the Rays did effectively against the Astros. They may need Green in Game 3. Boone's been burning through this bullpen pretty quick, using Ottavino, only one batter in a couple of instances now, where he doesn't seem to trust him against left-handed hitters all of a sudden. So if you end up needing Green in Game 3, maybe you don't do that. In that case, I think you pretty much, I don't think they're going to anybody on 3 days rest like a Tanaka. He's been bad on, he needs extra rest, or he's better on extra rest. I think they'd have to decide between Hap and Sabathia, knowing that probably either one of them is only going to give you 3-4 innings at the most, probably.
Harp, what kind of pressure is there on Stanton in this series? It seemed there was moments in the Minnesota series where the Yankee fans had already lost their patience with him.
Yeah, sort of understandably, he hadn't been there all year. He had a really bad postseason last year. He did look better as far as at least not chasing it in that Minnesota series. He was able to lay off pitches and take his walks, but he also didn't look good at the pitches he swung at. He had one hit a couple times. He swung at a 3-0 pitch. It was in on his hands, just a bad decision, and grounded out, and then grounded into a double play. And then the one time he had the sac fly on a complete hanger of a slider that he should have hit 500 feet if he's in any kind of groove. I don't know. I think it's going to be tough for him. He didn't have many at-bats there, and he's not a guy you expect to hit the elite pitching, certainly not the elite right-handed pitching that he's going to see. Verlander and Cole in particular, those hard throwers, I would think he's going to have a tough time with them. So I think the Yankees are lucky that Encarnacion, he's a better hitter against good pitching. I think he's taken some of the pressure off. He's that guy in the middle of the lineup that they kind of thought Stanton would be. So I listen, Stan's going to hear about it if he gets up in big spots and doesn't deliver, and I think it could end up being a tough series for him.
What game does Aaron Hicks get a start in this series?
Yeah, I'm not sure that he does. I think it's a tough thing to ask. The guy hasn't faced major league pitching in, almost 2 months now, I think it is. Maybe it is 2 months. And I wonder, though, if they just see him as a better option than Tyler Wade, as far as he can give you great defense in center field. I think that's the best thing, that's what they really like, the idea of maybe using him in late innings. He can run enough that he could be an option like a Wade if you need a runner, and he's a left-handed bat. I mean, at some point he probably will get some at bats, but I don't know. I just don't know if you're gonna move Gardner to left, and I don't think you're taking Gardner out of the lineup against the Astros righties. You move Gardner to left, then you got to move Stanton to DH. Then you got to play Encarnacion at first because he's not coming out. So the guy who ends up getting the odd man out is Urshela, which is possible because they moved LeMahieu to third, which is possible. But he's been really good too. So I don't know. I have a feeling that Hicks might be more of just a utility guy coming off the bench.
You know, Harp, I find it interesting that everybody looked at the Astros as one of the first teams that tanked to get the high draft choices, and they do have a lot of homegrown talent. But if you look at their top three starting pitchers, you know, Verlander, Cole, and Greinke, and then their closer, Osuna, they were all acquired in trades. What does that say about the creativity of their front office in that they've been able to blend different strategies to put this team together?
That all credit to him for doing that, and it is kind of the way that teams have approached it in more recent years, is trying to build the position players and think they can get their pitching, because it's risky, as we've seen with the Mets, trying to build with pitching and the injuries that you're gonna have to deal with for most likely. So yeah, they did a good job. They had a number one pick. I forget it was Aiken now. One of the pitchers they put didn't work out as the number one pick overall. But they have done a good job, and don't forget, Verlander was there 2 years ago for anybody that was willing to pay the rest of his salary. I think if the Yankees at that time had already gotten under the luxury tax, they would have been in on Verlander. That was the year. Remember, they were still trying to get under. They got under that following postseason or off season. Hal Steinbrenner was not taking on Verlander's contract, so he could have been a Yankee, and that would have made a huge difference in this thing. But now the Astros, they've made the right moves as far as making those trades.
John, before I ask you a question about the other team in town, you'll be on SNY before and after the game tonight, or after the game? What's the schedule tonight?
Yeah, after the game, we're doing the post-game stuff on SNY. We'll carry the Yankees. We'll carry the press conferences, and then we'll do some commentary afterward. The first two nights, and I'll be at the stadium during the week for the home games.
Great. As far as the Mets manager search, has it come down to Girardi versus Beltran, or is that simplifying it too much as far as what the Mets are thinking?
Yeah, I think it's a little premature, but I don't. That I mean, I wrote a column for today, basically talking to other scouts and executives, and who seem to think that that's where it's headed. There seems to be something there with Showalter. They don't seem real interested in Showalter, who I equate with Girardi pretty much 1 and 1A as far as the experience, the proven ability to manage. The people I talk to they just don't like the idea of, and I don't either, of Beltran. As smart a baseball guy as he is, and you hear it from everybody, and I've seen it myself from talking to him, but he does have a sensitive side. We saw that when he was a player with the Mets. To come in as a guy who's never done it and be able to make all the in-game decisions, as we've seen with Mickey Callaway, if you haven't done it before, you just don't know until you see it. And then to deal with the criticism you're going to get, especially in New York, where there's more, I think, of the scrutiny on the in-game stuff than a lot of other places. That's a tough thing to ask for a guy who hasn't done it. So, and especially following Callaway, that's really the issue for me, is because of what you went through with Callaway, I just don't understand. I don't think they can take that chance with a first-time guy. So Girardi seems to be the obvious guy. I guess it sounds like maybe they're going to maybe talk to John Gibbons as well. But I don't know if it's an issue of money, but none of these teams are paying managers what they used to. So you would think they could maybe figure that out. Girardi just seems to be like the guy where this is all headed. But I think it's still a little early to say that definitively in any way.
Now, Harp, this is kind of a more overall question. How much does the manager's willingness to let contributions come from the organization, describe that as how you see fit, the general manager, the owner's son, whoever, a collaborative effort on a lineup day in and day out, makeup of the roster, how much will that be a deciding factor here in who the Mets hire? Do you think it's kind of a make or break part of who they're going to pick as their next manager?
Yeah, collaborative is the buzzword, Jody, for sure. That's kind of an unknown, because look, Brody Van Wagenen and his front office, and they beefed up their analytics department. He hired an analytics guy, Adam Gutrich, that they relied on a lot for a lot of decisions they made. And so they were very involved in the day-to-day stuff as far as the lineups and things like that. So that's the key question for me, because if you do bring in Girardi, or if it was Girardi or Showalter.
There's a combination there.
Yeah.
You're going to have to give up some control, because those guys are not going to – look, they do – I mean, they all – every manager these days understands the importance of analytics. They want the information. You know, Buck was using that information 25 years ago from Gene Michaels, things like that. But they don't want to be told who's playing left field, who's hitting second, things like that on a daily basis. So I think Brody Van Wagenen would have to, you know, step back a little bit in terms of that. And I listen, from the people I've talked to, I don't know if he could do that for sure, but I think he understands the importance of a manager after what they went through with Callaway. I think he knows he has to get this right, because this is his call. Callaway wasn't, and he wants to win. He wants this thing. He wants to be the GM, the agent who turned, you know, changed jobs and became the GM and went on to win. If he doesn't get the manager right, he's going to be out the door at some point, and he's probably never getting another job as a GM again. So I think I really have to believe that he would, you know, his ego, he would step back a little bit if he got the right guy. We'll see if that happens.
Harp, good stuff. We'll be watching you on SNY tonight. Thanks for hopping on with us, brother.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Harp.
John Harper of SNY here with us on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.